Welcome to Deep Dive. I'm your host, Jay Wald, and this is episode 82.
82. Hi, Joe.
Hey.
So glad to see that you're back.
Oh, man, you know, I missed you last time. You know that?
Me too. Wow.
You did a wonderful job with Pastor Jay.
Oh, thank you.
Wonderful job.
Everything better?
Yeah, you know, I'm in the process. I'm going to the dentist. I think the pastor's going tomorrow.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, I think he's going tomorrow. Yeah, so he might not get what I got.
I know, right?
Totally understood. But it's a wonderful thing. Thank you for taking over. Okay. That's why you're the best co-host ever. So, and we are now, what is this, episode 3 of Good versus Bad?
Versus Bad.
Yeah.
Right. So we got that done. And I think the title was Feed the Homeless and Your Haters. Not bad. So we want to welcome back Pastor Joe.
Yep.
All right. It's been a pleasure. I know you had a busy morning.
We'll be back.
Yes, I know you had a busy morning and everything. So, as always, we want to thank our podcast listeners. You know, which way ever you contact us, WhatsApp, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, whatever mediums you use, always at 954-388-8780.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Well, before we start, you know what we do.
Yes, we do.
All right, let's get a word of prayer. Father God, once again, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for a new vision. We thank you for thoughts that you have put in our minds, Lord, to continue to spread the word. Lord, we thank you for the podcast. We thank you for our plantation church members. We thank you for all that listen to us, Lord. Let the word continue to go forth to whoever may it go to. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All righty.
All right. So, Pastor Joe, okay, so yesterday, we got all the results for the election and everything. But my question was about, connected to what you sent out today about what did the Pope say, but it's not even talking about the Pope. We know that the new president-elect is Catholic. And so now America, and he is Catholic. And then with your thing this morning, you were talking about all of the leaders were signing this treaty of peace with the Pope. How do you think if America is involved in that signing, how would that affect a Christian? Do we start thinking about, okay, the Sunday law is about to enact? Do we start to panic? Do we have to put things in place? Do we see persecution is going to happen real fast? What do you think our thought process should be?
Very complex question. I could speak for an hour just about this. Well, first of all, I have to point out that technically the elections are not over yet.
Correct.
Right.
So let's pray that before any other concern regarding Sunday laws and other persecution situations, we will not have a mess that we don't even predict, we don't even expect.
Right.
So I believe God's people have to be prayerful these days, because things are happening here in the U.S. and across the globe. And I strongly believe that there is some sort of a possible balance of forces of good and evil that is determined by prayer.
Okay.
So we have to pray for the best things to happen for the salvation of people. Now, regarding your question, the fact that somebody is Catholic or non-Catholic in politics, I don't think should be too far-fetched and based off somebody's religion. And I'm not discussing here whether somebody really is practicing that religion or not, but start judging things merely from somebody's religious background perspective can be a very dangerous route.
Okay.
This is why I'm saying what I'm saying. I believe God has people in all kind of settings, religious settings, political settings, economical settings, and you may be able to extend those settings. And no matter what we may perceive from the outside, I do not believe that God, God's spirit has given up easily on people.
Right. It's true.
The reason why things are still happening and society still goes on as sickly as we have become is because God still is at work. And God has people that he works through. And those people are not perfect people. Let me just give a biblical example to that. You have the King Cyrus.
Yeah.
Who was a Persian king.
Yep.
Well, that Persian king, if you go back to history, committed lots of atrocities. And yet, at one point, because of his own way of looking at things, God calls him his Messiah. Is anointed.
Yes, it's true.
Because at one crucial point of history, God used King Cyrus to complete, to fulfill his work, God's work. So we don't know exactly what God wants to accomplish through whom. And let me tie that into the signing of the declaration or act of peace or asking for peace by the Pope and by world religion leaders. In itself, the act of signing a document or asking for peace may seem very laudable. Right? Hey,
of course.
We all want peace.
We all want peace.
And I just encouraged you to pray that things will not be messed up to the level where people's life is in danger here in the United States.
Right.
But then you have to look beyond the immediate realities that you can see. And that's where I said in my video that this peace thing rings some prophetic bells. Right? And I read it from the Bible, where it says that when they will be saying peace and security, that's where a sudden destruction will hit them. And how this this action, recent action of the Pope, is a foretaste or a forerunner of that prophetic reality, it's very hard to say.
Right.
What I'm saying in the video and saying it again now is that it rings a prophetic bell. Because it's very interesting how the world is more and more seized by the forces competing and fighting forces of evil. And in the midst of all this, there's this striking voice of peace and security.
Right.
Now, if that doesn't tell you anything and doesn't strike a some sort of a prophetic bell or sound, well, then you may need to go back to the Bible and analyze deep things of God.
Yep. Okay. All right.
Well, I was about to say what I say against that, but oh well. Pastor out there, he gives some interesting answers, man.
Yes,
I tell you. But it's all based on the word. That's a good thing. Let's go back. Episode 74. That was episode 2 of Good versus Bad. It was no bitterness or only sweetness. Remember that? And you spoke briefly about how Jesus can turn a bitter person into someone full of joy. And you also spoke about the wormwood. You know, you spoke about the bitterness in that. And then you also spoke about can Christians be idolaters? And then you also spoke about the wormwood being in the book of Revelation. So now you're here today, episode 3, Feed the Homeless and Your Haters. I'm going to ask you what, you put more emphasis on the haters a bit. Why so?
Well, this is why. Because as Christians, we have a duty that everybody has, every human being, which means to feed those that don't have the means, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. But as I pointed it out in my sermon, the mere fact that you feed the homeless doesn't necessarily make you more or different from any atheist organization or pagan organization does the same.
Right.
Because there is a level of good that is somehow part of the fabric of nature. Just like God gives rain to the good and to the evil.
Right.
Or brings out the sun for the good and for the bad. Similarly, people, no matter what their religion may be, or they may be even non-religious people, they can still do some acts of goodness.
Okay,
not everybody, because some people are corrupt to the degree where they cannot do anything good.
Right.
But generally speaking, I cannot say that everything that somebody that does not believe in Christ, everything that they do is bad. Not at all. On the contrary, I believe that God works in the life of the pagans as well.
Right.
And when I say pagan, I'm not using the term in a pejorative way, but right. in a collective sense of those that do not believe in Jesus Christ.
Okay.
But Jesus Christ teaches me that there's a next level of maturity, there's a next level of perfection, if you will, that is expected from Christians.
Right.
A Christian has to go beyond loving those that love him or her.
Okay.
A Christian has to go to the level where you love those that do not love you, but on the contrary, hate you.
Right.
And the very practical and tangible way of the Apostle Paul expressing this is, hey, if your enemy is hungry, give him food. Yeah. If he's thirsty, give him drink. But don't give him poison food and don't give him poison drink.
Right.
And please notice that the idea here is not to foment somebody's hatred. It is to feed somebody that has a need, right? Because this is how you overcome evil with good. And that's where I'm emphasizing. I'm not saying that it's important. It's more important than feeding the homeless. Right. No. What I'm saying is feeding the homeless is something that more people can do, much more than those that can feed the haters.
Right.
And it is your express responsibility as a Christian to feed the haters, because nobody else will do it.
I see what you're saying. It's more or less the haters need to be fed more than the homeless, because the homeless, the haters can feed the homeless as well in good intentions. But God's using the model to say we need to do that extra step and turn that around. Because you made a point.
If you don't feed the haters, then who's going to feed them?
That's true. And you made a point, and I was telling Don earlier, that you said, turn your enemies into friends, you actually destroy them. That was powerful. In a loving way, because you talked about having a seat in front of your enemies if God has wanted to be. That's actually powerful. That's actually powerful.
Doesn't it say in the Bible, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? Why wouldn't you act on that? Because it's biblical.
Yeah.
Yeah. why wouldn't you act on it?
Mm-hmm.
Would you please repeat the question?
An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's what it says in the Bible. So why can't we act on that? If they do something to us, why can't we do something back?
Where does that the Bible say? Where does the Bible say that?
That we can do it? That we can get back at them?
Yes.
Well, I know it contradicts itself because he does say vengeance is mine.
I see where Dawn is going. I see exactly where she's going.
I see. That's right.
You know,
I think it's very difficult when you have, especially in a Christian realm, when you have someone who has done something very bad to you and they are in the church.
Mm.
Okay, let me relate to your question.
Now you're saying now, well, you know, if we, God is asking us to be mindful of them, to be courteous to them, to be kind to them, to do if they're in need, to give to them. How is that possible?
Okay, if you read the Bible, especially some specific laws in the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
you could end up concluding that, hey, if somebody took my eye out, then I should be able to go and take his or her eye out.
Mm.
Nevertheless, if you read it attentively, you will see that God has never left it up to you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
There are some specific legal prescriptions in the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
but that's not me acting out my own justice.
Right.
Let me move that in the New Testament. I strongly believe, and here you may have an issue with me saying this, I strongly believe that the New Testament did not move away from what God believes with regard to treating injustice.
Mm. Okay.
I may sound weird to say that if I'm taking the Bible seriously,
mm-hmm.
some people that do things of very severe impact
mm-hmm.
should take a very severe punishment.
Mm.
And the Bible says it in the same line of thoughts where I was speaking about you as a Christian, me as a Christian, being called by God to feed our haters, our enemies.
Mm.
If you move one step down, Romans chapter 13 talks about the role of the authorities.
Okay.
The government, mm-hmm. if you will.
Right.
And it says there that the government has two roles. Is to appreciate those that do the good and to punish those that do evil.
Right.
Now, if the government doesn't do that,
mm-hmm.
that's a different discussion.
Mm.
If the government fails mm. doing that. But that doesn't mean that God has now left it And he says, okay, now it's fine. You can do whatever you want. Knock somebody's teeth out because, hey, I'm fine with that.
Hmm.
No. The government should treat you for that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Like you should have your punishment for that.
Hmm.
But does the government do that?
Hmm.
I don't have the individual right to go and knock somebody's teeth out because mine was knocked out.
Mm.
And the church was not called to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I got you.
And this is not against standing up for justice or against injustice. On the contrary, I believe your role and my role as Christians would be to hold the authorities accountable.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's why I always advocated, ever since I came to plantation, I always advocated the involvement of the church in social justice.
Okay.
Because God has given a role to the government to play.
Mm-hmm.
But I, as a human being, as a citizen, and as a citizen of the kingdom as well, should have a saying and hold the government accountable.
Mm-hmm. Right. Hmm. Okay.
Told you, man, his answers. Woo. Pastor, I tell you. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something. You expounded more on the heaping of the coals. Sometimes that's easier said than done. So, you know, and you keep saying, you show the illustration of how you're supposed to carry, you know, over your head to that. Can you expound that a little bit more, why you need to just continue keeping the coals going?
Yeah, so that's an illustration that explains the concept of heaping coals with fire on somebody's head.
Right.
So the point was, if my fire goes out, and you're my neighbor, I'm going to go to you and ask for coals.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But what if you're angry with me?
Mm.
What if we hate each other?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Then I will not go to you.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then I will have to go somewhere else. But what if nobody can give me fire?
Right.
So that I can rekindle the fire in my fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
So what Paul says is that if you feed your enemy
mm-hmm.
when they are hungry, when you give drink to them when they are thirsty,
mm-hmm.
it is like heaping coals of fire or with fire on their heads.
Right.
It's like giving them the fire they need to rekindle the fire in their fireplace, in spite of the fact that they treated you bad.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? And to me, that's a very powerful illustration of what this means to the person, because in Florida, we don't have the concept of what it means to lack the fire.
Yeah.
Because it's warm all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But let me tell you, brother, when you live in a place where you have real winter, even around this time of the year, if you don't have fire in your fireplace, you will tremble, you know?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And what can be more convincing to your hater than you giving him fire to rekindle the fire in his stove, in spite of how you treated him.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Right?
You extend that olive branch even more.
Mm. Wow. Yeah.
You mentioned something about the hedgehog. Mm-hmm. Is that a natural reaction that we have as hedgehogs, that we curl up and we just protect ourselves? Is that just a natural reaction?
By the way, have you ever seen a hedgehog?
I have.
Mm. I've seen many.
Because I know it's not native in the islands. I know it's not native here either. And I found out that in some states in America, they are forbidden as pets as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I was surprised to see that. But a hedgehog is a very interesting little animal, and as kids, we used to play with them. I know this sounds pretty bad, because now we are in a culture where animals are very well protected.
Mm.
But when we were kids, we had a lot of hedgehogs around our property there.
Mm-hmm.
And we would play with them. We would even ruin our shoes, because this is what we would do. They would curl up
mm-hmm.
and and you could not touch their sensitive parts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So everything was just spikes all around.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you as a kid would go and you know, kick the ball.
Kick the ball.
But then that would destroy your shoes.
Yeah.
Okay. Is the hedgehog reaction a natural reaction? I believe yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even saying we should not have that reaction.
Right.
Because I've seen videos, and you guys know more about this than me, in police brutality, for instance.
Mm.
Yeah.
The poor people, if they don't curl up and try to protect their vital parts,
yeah,
they can easily be killed like in an instant. So I'm not saying we should not do that,
right?
Because it may be that at one point, physically, literally or figuratively, we have to curl up as a hedgehog,
right?
Just to survive.
Right.
Understood.
But then the next part comes, because this is what I said. Don't be overcome by evil.
Yes.
Okay. And the hedgehog completes this.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not overcome. You curl up and your spikes are out and you will survive.
Right.
But then overcome evil with good.
Yes.
And that's a divine process now.
Has to be.
Yeah.
How do we make a difference in the world by this concept?
I believe we could have played a role in this this campaign, this election, and the whole campaign before it. We as Christians, I mean, we could have played a role that to a certain degree, at least, we kind of failed.
Yeah,
because we were so bucked up or bucked down with partisanship that many of us forgot about the kingdom, the kingdom of God.
Mm.
I would have expected more people to come out, like the two guys that I mentioned in my sermon. I don't know if you had a chance to watch that little video.
Oh, the two guys running for governor?
Yeah, in Utah.
Yeah.
In the meanwhile, I checked to see who came out as a winner, and it was predictable according to how people vote in that area, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the guy, the Republican guy, came out. But that's beyond point. The mere fact that two people that were running for the same office,
mm-hmm,
were able to come out and tell you, hey, I'm this, and he says his name, and we are running against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that you should vote for me.
Right.
And the other says, I believe you should vote for me.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we both believe that we can do a campaign, mm-hmm, without degrading the other's character.
Right.
Not the negative aspect.
And do our campaign, tell you, hey, this is how I see reality, this is how you see reality, and then let's allow you to decide,
right,
to choose, right?
Mm-hmm.
So from this perspective, I'm saying, I don't even know if those guys are Christian or not.
Right.
And that's beyond point again.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, as Christians, shouldn't we have had more impact on our society these days? And it's not over yet, as I said. Technically, this can go a long while from now.
Yep,
exactly. Okay. You mentioned the big celebration yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a problem with anybody's celebration, not even if it's on a Sabbath.
Mm.
But if my celebration becomes a spike in the eye of somebody else that just doesn't celebrate like me or doesn't want to celebrate like me,
mm-hmm.
then as a Christian, I have an issue.
Mm.
Because what about those that think differently?
Mm.
And yes, you are allowed to celebrate, but why not invite your enemy to celebrate with you?
Game changer.
And say, okay, hey, listen, we celebrate because we won, but let's put up this table, and you can take this physically or figuratively. Mm. Okay, let's lay the table. And hey, we have some good fruit here. Okay, no ice cream, but we have something healthy for you. Okay. Let's come together and at least now let's bury the hatchet.
Mm.
Unfortunately, yeah. What I'm seeing on social media and these are even people that are supposed to be Christian.
Yeah.
That the hatred goes on. Now the hatred goes on. And I want you to know that I'm not with either parties.
Right.
Because out of conviction, I don't believe in partisan politics.
Mm.
But I believe in burying the hatchet, no matter who you are.
Right.
And I would expect that message to go out these days. At least now that hey, now the campaign is over.
Mm.
And in all fairness, other than shouting and you know celebrating or crying and doing a funeral, we cannot influence, like on an individual level, we cannot influence this too much.
Mm.
On a personal level. It's another discussion whether if it goes one way or the other, we should be part of any kind of group of lobby or action.
Yeah.
But that's again another conversation.
Mm.
As a Christian, what message do I put out there?
Right.
If I am a Democrat, Christian, Democrat, Christian,
mm-hmm.
am I a Democrat Christian or am I a Christian Democrat?
Mm. What do I want to put that?
Huh? Or if I'm a Republican, am I a Republican Christian or am I a Christian Republican?
Mm.
Because that changes the game immediately.
It does.
Because okay, say my candidate lost.
Mm.
Then should I continue to hate? Or I should say, okay, brothers, hey, we saw things differently here, or we see things differently, but let's eat together, okay?
Right.
Or if mine won, should I now show you how miserable you are and how I will hit on you now?
Mm.
No, I should go out to you and say, hey, yeah, politics, it's politics.
Mm.
And for the sake of government, I believe it's even healthy to have different views on politics.
Of course.
Yeah.
But then, where are we bringing the gospel in?
Yeah, that's the question.
That's very true.
I had a very, very interesting experience in my church. In Plantation Church, right, where I had a dissension with one of the leaders of the church at one point, right? And it went to a point where as a pastor, I had to take some actions.
Right.
But in that following weekend, the two of us washed one another's feet and had communion. We went to the table together.
I remember, Pastor. I remember.
Yeah, that was powerful.
So the point is it is possible, it is doable. Don't tell me you cannot do it.
Yes.
If you really believe in Jesus Christ as your savior, then you believe the Holy Spirit can do more than you can do, it is possible. It is doable. Is it easy? No, it's not.
No.
Because it comes with some dying within you.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was beneficial to you toward the end. I remember it well.
Yeah.
I'm sure
it was beneficial to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was beneficial to the other party.
Yeah.
And to my surprise, because I didn't even think about the impact that it could have on other people.
Oh, yeah. Me.
Yeah.
But then I had reactions and people were telling me, oh, wow, I've never seen something like that.
Yeah.
Does the gospel have impact? Oh, absolutely. The gospel does have a strong impact.
Mm.
And yeah, Joe, if we mess up, I'm going to wash your feet, okay?
Yeah.
As long as you allow me, okay?
Sure.
Yeah,
I would say the same for Don, but hey,
I don't wash feet with him.
I'm
in a different room.
Yeah,
we will just eat together, okay?
Yes. Yeah, there you go. bring an extra bottle of something. I don't know. But that's a good one. That's a good illustration, because that was a moment that I know that
moment. Very yeah,
good. That was a good. You set an example. Excellent example.
Oh, yeah. Excellent example. And it did have a ripple effect.
Really, but remember, I couldn't have had that experience if my other party wouldn't have accepted my initiative.
Yes.
Right.
And that's what I was trying to point out in the final part of my sermon, where I was talking about Jacob, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
With all the good things that you would be trying to do,
mm-hmm.
be humble, be merciful, do justice. I mean, the way you want to play the other person around, you know?
Yeah.
The victory is not provided by what you want to do.
Right.
Victory is provided by you overcoming yourself.
Ah, well said.
Which means you have to go in prayer to the Lord. Because let me tell you something. You've seen the visible part when the two guys that fought now come together and wash one another's feet.
Mm-hmm.
And they partake in the communion emblems. That's what you guys saw.
Yeah.
But you did not see my struggle
before
being there.
Mm-hmm.
And you did not see the other party's struggle before going there.
Mm-hmm.
We just saw the results, and it was powerful.
But the most important aspect is not that. That is the visible and impactful part of it.
Mm.
But just like in Jesus' life, his effectiveness in ministry was not because of his effectiveness in ministry, but because of his relationship with his Father.
Yeah.
When it comes to overcoming evil with good, it is not what happens in the battlefield per se, but what happens behind the scenes.
Yeah.
When you prepare for this battle.
Yeah. I like when you use one of the stories, especially on Jacob, you know, because he was this bit with the deceptiveness he had. He's coming back, it's 20 years, and now he's actually changing his ways. But how he had to deal with Esau and how he had to turn around the humbleness to that.
Remember in the sermon, I pointed out that there were two battles.
Right.
There was an angel battling Jacob.
Yes.
And there was an angel sent by God to battle Esau.
Yes, you did say that.
Had Jacob not had that battle with the angel, God would have not sent the other angel to battle Esau.
Jacob first. Oh, Esau, got you. Because it was Jacob first.
Yes, because when Jacob withdraws, right, and he feels lonely, but he wants to be even more lonely. He wants to be with God only. So he goes over the river. It's a very, very beautiful depiction,
you know,
of him separating from everybody and he going there and say, Lord, hey, this is now you and me. We have to sort this out.
Right.
And while he's struggling with the Lord there, the Lord touches him on his shoulder.
Yeah.
The Lord comes to him in real flesh and, yeah. And you know, in tangible realities.
Mm-hmm.
And when his victory starts there, that's how I imagine it. Then the Lord immediately sends an angel to Esau and tells him, "Hey, listen, watch out what you're doing.
Right.
Don't do this. And not only that, God showed Esau the camp of Jacob surrounded by angels.
Yeah.
Letting him know, hey, yeah, you have 400 soldiers,
yeah.
armored, and they have all the weapons. They have the guns and the pistols.
Hmm.
But watch out. He's well protected.
Yeah.
There are angels around him. That's a beautiful scenario.
It is. Yeah, I'm glad you picked that on the end, toward the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a difference about that.
Wow.
Well, Pastor, yeah. If you don't have anything else, Don.
No, I don't think so. Anything else?
I want to thank you. Because I think you have some more episodes of good versus bad.
Yeah.
Gonna end it.
It's gonna go on. Yeah.
I know you got more. So, but you made another point that you said this message was relevant for today, which is true. This message is relevant for today.
Yeah, it is.
For doing that.
Yeah, it is.
No.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So once again, Pastor, I know, like I said, the weather is pretty yucky outside right now. Mm-hmm. So I hope that stay dry if you have to go back out again. I know you had a interesting morning, I'm sure, with the elders meeting. And now what?
Yeah, I have a meeting waiting for me at 1:00 again.
Okay. Well, we're wrapped.
I'm going from one into the other.
Zoom to another.
Right. Zoom to the other. That's right. All right. So if you don't mind, if you can go to the end of Twitter prayer, we appreciate it.
Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the manifestation of your goodness in Jesus Christ. And we thank you that through him, in him, we can be used by your grace to be agents of goodness in this world.
Mm.
And I pray for each one of our listeners that, yes, you will work in our hearts and minds so that good will prevail in our lives. We will be overcome by you, the good one, so that we can overcome evil with good. I know this may seem extremely difficult, but I pray, Lord, that you will impress it upon our hearts that although it may be difficult and it may scare us at first sight, by your power, it is possible.
Yes.
So we thank you in Jesus' name through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. I appreciate it, Pastor. I hope you have a wonderful day. Enjoy your
God bless, guys.
Jump into one thing to the other. Okay.
And, God bless. Stay dry.
Got you. It's yucky out there. Don?
It's pouring.
Don, thank you so much for stepping in as you did last week, as always.
Yep.
All right, into our podcast. Once again, we thank you. Once again, any questions, concerns, 954-388-7780. And one last thing, Pastor, I like your hard hat video.
Okay, thank you.
All right, goodbye, everybody.